Deuteronomy chapter 5 contains a repeat of what was originally given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai through Moses. That is the Ten Commandments, beginning the law for the children of Israel, the law of God that was associated with the one that God gave it through, that is Moses, was also known as the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. Now we're reading a portion of these Ten Commandments. In fact, we're honing in on the fourth one. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 to 15 says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservants may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So there's the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments that God originally gave to Israel. And that one is the commandment to observe, to keep the Sabbath, which is a very unique commandment among the ten, unique to us as Christians today, because it is the only of the ten commandments that we do not find, at least in some form or in principle, taught in the New Testament. In fact, most of the Ten Commandments are carried over into the New Testament word for word. They're quoted and incorporated into the law of Christ. But this commandment, the fourth one, to keep the Sabbath, that is the only one that we do not find included in the New Testament. Not only that, in fact, as we go through this study, we'll see in the New Testament, in the second chapter of the book of Colossians, he explicitly mentions that particular commandment, making the point about the law of Moses being nailed to the cross of Christ and being taken out of the way. And says for us not to, and this is Colossians 2:16, to let any man judge us in the Sabbath anymore. We're not under that anymore under Christ. But that's a portion of our study, though we mention it now, that we want to get into in more detail a bit later. We have a portion of this that we want to study this morning. We have about 25 to 30 minutes to go this morning. And we want to spend that time delving into part of this study, and then the remainder we'll try to get to next Lord's Day, the Lord willing. But what we want to do is study about Jesus Christ and the Sabbath, that is, what he did, what he taught concerning the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. Now, what we saw there in Deuteronomy 5 is the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. What we call Saturday today. This today is, of course, the first day of the week, Sunday, what is called the Lord's Day in the New Testament. We as Christians gather together on the first day of the week. The Jews under the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, the special day for them was the seventh day, was the Sabbath day, but they had that law to govern them and their conduct on that particular day. Now, Jesus Christ came into the world and was born during the time when the law of Moses was still in effect. Therefore, concerning Christ himself in regard to the Sabbath law, did Jesus keep that Sabbath law or did he not? And what we're going to find is that he did. He did observe the Sabbath just as it was commanded in that passage that we read in Deuteronomy a moment ago, because this was God's law. Now let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, where the emphasis is on the Sabbath coming to Israel from God himself. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." Now that is a summary of all of the law of Moses that he gives there in those two verses. As Nehemiah was praying to God in this chapter. There he was speaking to God and acknowledging that the law of Moses came from God, from heaven. And he particularly mentions the Sabbath law, that that was given to them, to the children of Israel, through Moses, by God himself. So that was God's law. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we want to read the original giving of that Sabbath law as it was contained here in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. This was what was drawn from, quoted from in Deuteronomy 5 that we looked at a moment ago, but here's the original text, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So there is what Israel was commanded by God from the beginning. Now, did Jesus submit to and observe that commandment? And he did, as he did all of the commandments that God gave to him. Here's what Jesus said about his purpose on this earth and what he had come to do and how he lived his life on this earth. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Now that is a statement about the life of Christ and what he did here. His meat, that is his food, was to do the will of the Father who sent him and to finish God's work. Now wouldn't it be good and wouldn't it be right and proper for the same to be said of us? I mean, that's why we're here too. We're here to do the will of God who made us and put us on this earth. Our life should be spent to fulfill His will and to do the work that He's given us to do to serve Him in this life in preparation for that life to come in eternity. But Jesus had His life, had that purpose in His life and lived His life accordingly, only to do God's will, not His own, to finish the work the Father gave Him to do. Well, did that include keeping the commandments that God gave to the Israelite nation that Jesus himself belonged to? Of course, that did include that, including the Sabbath. Let's also look at John chapter 8, 28 and 29. John 8, 28 and 29. And what a life that we see that Christ lived, and what a beautiful description of it here in these two verses in John the 8th chapter, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So would it please the Father for Jesus to keep his commandment to observe the Sabbath? And of course it did, and Jesus did that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. What would it, since Jesus was under the law of Moses at that time, and that was a commandment of God to observe the Sabbath, if Jesus had broken the Sabbath, he would have been guilty of what? That would have been a transgression of the law, which 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 defines as being sin. Sin is transgression of the law. But here's what it says about Christ and the life that he lived in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He never committed a sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Now this is one thing that makes Jesus' life unique from ours. Now his life is to become our life. We're to grow in him so that what we are doing in our lives is exactly how he lived his. The big difference, though, is that Jesus never did sin once in his life. He never transgressed one of God's laws. We know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But look at what it says about Jesus here in Hebrews 4, verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Well, would the devil have tempted Jesus to have broken those commandments of God by the law that was in the law of Moses, including the Sabbath law? Of course, he would have faced that temptation, but he overcame it, and he did not commit sin. So there's no way that he broke God's Sabbath law that he was under. He never sinned. Now, Jesus, therefore, observed the Sabbath, and he taught men to observe it. Let's see what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Regarding his standing with the law of Moses in general, which would certainly apply to the Sabbath. But Matthew chapter 5, let's look at verses 17 to 19. By the way, this is the text which has been undergirding our study about the Pharisees on Sunday nights for the last few weeks. We want to go do some more of that tonight. So there's a little preview of this from this these verses here in Matthew 5 about that. So if you can be back tonight for our study on that, please do. But here, Matthew 5, 17 to 19 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And it's the next verse where he then tells us our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, or we will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. But there, regarding the law of Moses, Jesus said he did not come to destroy that law, he came to fulfill it. Now, did he say that law of Moses would always be in effect? No, he didn't. He said it would not pass, not one jot or one tittle would pass from it till all be fulfilled. So was Jesus speaking of a time that would come in which it would pass away? That law would be done away with. It was never intended to be a permanent law for man forever, for all mankind. That's what Jesus' covenant is. The New Testament is the new and everlasting covenant. But regarding the law of Moses, Jesus said he didn't come to destroy it. It would not pass away till it was all fulfilled, which is what he came to do, to fulfill it. And he did. But that included his observance of the Sabbath. Now in Matthew 23, verse 23, in dealing with the scribes and Pharisees, he condemned their hypocrisy, said to them in Matthew 23, 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Well, he mentions tithing there as one of the things, the laws they were keeping, or among those. Well, Jesus said that they were omitting the weightier matters, but he didn't say you should have been doing the weightier matters of the law at the expense of or to neglect the lesser commandments that he refers to there, such as tithing. He says, these ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. So what was Jesus teaching? How many of the commandments of God that they were under were they supposed to be keeping? All of them. And they were not to be omitting any of them. But as they were doing the those least matters and omitting the weightier matters, they were wrong in that. But would Jesus' words here when he says, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone, would that leave room for leaving the keeping of the Sabbath undone? That would not leave any room for that at all. And Jesus, as he said, anyone who was going to teach men to break even one of the least of those commandments would be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And that was certainly not Christ. So he observed the Sabbath and he taught men to observe it. In fact, the same chapter, the beginning of it, he said when those scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, he says, what they teach you to observe, that observe and do. And that includes the Sabbath. So he taught men to keep that Sabbath. Let's look at what Jesus' own custom was, his own personal custom. On the Sabbath day, he describes it in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke 4 verse 16 says, speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So if you want to know what Jesus, what he customarily did on the Sabbath day, that's what he did. He would be there keeping the Sabbath, but he would be there gathered with his fellow countrymen, his fellow Jews, at the synagogue, and he would read God's word. Well, that's what it was for. I mean, that's the things they were supposed to be doing. And so Jesus had the custom of keeping the Sabbath and doing those things that he says right there. Look at verse 31 here in the same chapter. It says he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. So we see those statements about Christ a number of times in the New Testament. That's what he did. He did keep the Sabbath, and he kept it the way God intended. Now, we're going to see that Jesus also described himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. As he kept the Sabbath, he was also the Lord of it. Now, this is going to require us, if we're going to understand what that principle is, that Jesus, and that's a reference from Matthew chapter 12, by the way, that we want to get to here in just a moment. But in Matthew 12, Jesus referred to himself as being the Lord of the Sabbath. He was. But now, to understand that, though, we need to understand what the actual law was that God gave to the children of Israel, and also to understand how many of the leaders of the Jews, particularly those scribes and Pharisees, misunderstood, misapplied, and actually ended up teaching their own laws instead of the law that God taught. Jesus did submit to God's law, but did Jesus submit to man's traditions and laws as they conflicted with God's? Of course, any tradition of man that's of man himself is going to naturally conflict with what God said. But Jesus didn't follow man's teachings. He followed God's, and he submitted to God's law. He didn't submit to the laws that the leaders of the Jews gave themselves out of their misunderstanding of God's law. So the actual law that we read a while ago from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, you remember in verse 9, he told them on that seventh day they were to cease from their work. He says, from thy work, your works. So what work did God forbid to be done on the Sabbath? Did he forbid all work? Now that's actually what it ended up coming to be by the tradition that the Jews had. They weren't allowed to do anything. I mean, basically, it was regarded as a day in which they were supposed to cease from everything. Now, Jesus pointed out the hypocrisy on that, too. But really, I should yield time here to Brother Jan, who's actually spent some time over in Israel today, where there are, of course, many Jews in that part of the world. I haven't ever been there, but Brother Jan has seen it himself, but some of the things that that he can describe for you, if you haven't ever heard him talk about it, but the things that by custom Jews are still doing today is no different than a lot of the things we read about, at least in principle, from what was going on, what they were teaching about it back in Christ's time. But they have, for example, they have elevators, he's told me over there, they have a special, on the Sabbath day, they have a Sabbath elevator in their buildings that automatically stops at every floor to spare them from doing the work of pushing a button for their floor, because that would be a violation of their understanding of the Sabbath. Did I say that about accurately? And they have a lot of things like that. They told me about a coworker of his that wandered all over sightseeing, and I think when he was visiting over here in the United States, could go all over the town touring and sightseeing, but then when he got back to his hotel room, it was against his law to be able to turn the light switch, and since the maid hadn't left the light on, then he was forced to sit there in the dark before evening descended. But anyway, it's just illustrating the kind of thinking that men come up with, and we do tend to want to chuckle at that kind of misunderstanding of what God said, but yet it's real. I mean, people still do that today, and not just in those things. Even in Christianity, we have those that will behave the same way and make their own laws and traditions. It's just as wrong today as then. But we also see in Christ's time, this was what was going on with the Sabbath day. But if you read, as we have done from Exodus 20, what God said in that commandment, in that fourth commandment, he told them to cease, he says, from thy work. That's the word that he used. Did he ever tell them, don't do any of my works on the Sabbath day? That's not what he said. He said, don't do your own works on the Sabbath day. Forbade them from using their servants to do those labors that they would typically do, and that would be their own labors, doing things for themselves on that day. Well, what kinds of things would that include? We have some examples from God's Word to show that God himself gave. In Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 32, says, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and said unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. He broke the Sabbath law, paid for his life. But what was he doing? Well, he was gathering sticks. Was that something directly for the Lord that he was doing? Or was this something he was doing for himself? I mean, he was doing his own labor on that day when he was not supposed to be. He was breaking what God had commanded. In Nehemiah chapter 13, Nehemiah had to deal with many of the errors of the people. And these were the descendants of the very ones who had returned from captivity in Babylon, already within a generation, they were veering off the right course again, and they were starting to turn away from the Lord and keeping his commandments, and that's what had gotten them in trouble in the first place. But here they were about to go, they were going off course once more. But in Nehemiah chapter 13, one of the things that we see that they were doing was breaking the Sabbath law. Now, this was an actual offense, not by man's tradition, but breaking what God said. Let's look at the example here in Nehemiah 13, starting in verse 15. Nehemiah said, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath." So that's what was going on there. Look, they were carrying on their regular business, buying and selling and doing all those things. And you can see the attitude they have even when he said, "You're not going to do that anymore and close the gates." Well, where was their heart? And here they are, well, they're just going to gather outside the day, just about essentially staring at their watches until the Sabbath can tick by and then get on with what they really want to do. Their attitude was completely off base and wrong. He told them to stop that. Their heart was wrong because they were interested in doing their own works, thinking about doing what they want to do. Hopefully none of us are guilty of that. The Lord has many things for us to do, and hopefully that is our delight. And what we're trying to do is the things that He wants us to do, not thinking about, well, I want to get rid of and get that over with so I can do what I really want to do. That shouldn't be the approach we have about anything God gives us to do. But those are a couple of examples that the Lord gives us in Scripture of those who violated the Sabbath day, and we can see that they were doing their own works. They were not doing the Lord's work on that day. Now, in Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord made some plain statements about the Sabbath and its purpose, which can help us to understand what that day was about, and also correct misunderstandings, because from these words, we can see that it was not God's intention that the people of Israel spend that day doing nothing. That was not a day strictly sit there in the house or lie in your bed or on the couch or something like that all day long. That's not what He intended. He didn't want them to be doing their own works, but look what He wanted them to be doing. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. He says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." You see how clear He was about that, the things He didn't want them to do, and it even involved their words. He wanted that day set aside strictly to do the Lord's work and His will. He wanted all their words and all their actions to be geared strictly to fulfilling God's pleasure on that day. And so He did not tell them, "You're supposed to just sit around and do absolutely nothing. Don't say anything. Don't do anything that day. Don't touch elevator buttons and don't turn on light switches." I know they didn't have that back then, but we understand in principle that's not what He was telling them, forbidding them from doing. He was forbidding them from doing their own works on that particular day and from doing their pleasure. Now, that's why He used that word, remember, in Exodus 20 and verse 11. He said that day was hallowed for God. That means set apart for God. That's what that word means. That day was set aside to be used directly in the service of God. Now, Jesus understood that. That's why Matthew chapter 12 and verse 12, when the Pharisees and scribes were condemning Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath day, and that's a particular point we want to get into more next week, Lord willing. But at the end of verse 12 of Matthew 12, Jesus said, "Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." To do well, to do what is good, is what He said. And that's, of course, as God is defining it. And so to do what is good, to do good works, to serve the Lord on the Sabbath day, which included healing somebody that had an infirmity, as this man did that he had just healed, a withered hand. That was doing the Lord's work. So doing the Lord's work on the Sabbath day was very much what God desired them to be doing, God's pleasure. It wasn't a day they were supposed to sit around and do nothing. It was a day they were supposed to set aside to serve the Lord and do the works of the Lord. It was lawful to do what was good on the Sabbath day, and that's what Jesus did. Now, earlier in this particular chapter, in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 1, it says that that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, some might say, well, aren't they doing the same thing that guy was doing there in Numbers 15 that was gathering sticks? And, of course, that's not the case. But here in verse 2, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a hungered and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now Jesus was establishing or was referring to the authority that he had. And he was Lord over the Sabbath day. Now, that did not mean that he was going to go take his position of authority and then break the Sabbath by doing his own will or having his disciples to do their own works on the Sabbath day. Why were they picking grain? Well, they were hungry, it says. I mean, they hadn't eaten, but why didn't they have food? Where were they going? What was the circumstance at that time? Jesus and his disciples were strictly involved in going forth to teach the people of Israel the ways of the Lord. That's what they were involved in, directly doing God's work. Now, would it be unlawful for them to pick ears of grain to eat that when they are hungry because of the work they're doing for the Lord and because they've left their own homes to do the Lord's work? They don't have provision for themselves, and for them to take grain that is available there to eat so they can have the strength to be able to carry on God's work on God's day? They had a total misunderstanding of that day and its purpose, and that is demonstrated with what they were saying and why they were condemning the guiltless on that day. They weren't doing their own work. They were doing the Lord's work, and that's why Jesus said it was lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. It was lawful for them to go forth and walk with their feet to go to teach people the word of God on that day. And therefore, it was lawful for them to take that grain and eat it so they would have the strength to do the Lord's work on that day. Just as it was right for Jesus to do the miracles and heal those who needed healing on the Sabbath day. He was doing what was good in the sight of God, doing the work of the Lord on that day. That was not a violation of God's law. It did violate the misunderstanding these leaders of the Jews had, but that was not going to condemn Jesus before God. He was condemned by these men, but they were wrong. But here he points out the fact that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath, and that's something that Jesus had to remind them of. And it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days, but there were a number of laws that the Jews had that would conflict with the Sabbath law. That is, they were told what they were told about the Sabbath day, but then there were other things they were also told to do that sometimes would fall on the Sabbath day. He mentions the priests and their works. Well, again, but that was God's work. So when the jobs they had as the priests of the Lord fell on the Sabbath day, would that be right or wrong for them to do it? Well, it would be right for them to do well on the Sabbath day, to do the works of the Lord. He mentioned the priests and their works there in verse 5. In another passage in John chapter 7, 21 to 24, he mentioned circumcision. Well, that was to be practiced on the eighth day. Well, what would happen if the child had been born on a Friday? Were any Jews born on a Friday? I mean, yes, there were plenty of Jews born on Friday, which would mean the eighth day after a Friday would fall on what day of the week? That would be Saturday. That would be the Sabbath day. Well, that would be the day that they were, the law would say they were to be circumcised. Well, could they say, well, you can't, that's a work. You can't circumcise on the Sabbath day. No, that law of circumcision took precedence over the Sabbath law. Again, that was God's law. That was doing good. That was doing God's work, obeying His commandment on that day. That was never forbidden. So Jesus used that example also in John 7. In this case, for man's own needs or survival, when they were doing the Lord's work, I mean, that was something that was very much in keeping with the Sabbath, doing God's pleasure on His day. I mean, they were traveling, going about to teach the Word of God, to do His will on that day. So they were condemning the guiltless. And Jesus then quoted from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6 and told them to go and learn what that means to have mercy and not sacrifice, because they were not showing mercy to God's servants who were carrying out to His works to do His pleasure on the Lord's day that He had for the Jews to observe. And so they were wrong in that, but Jesus submitted to God's law, even though He did not submit Himself to the misunderstandings and the misinterpretations that those leaders of the Jews had. We're going to cut off the study for this morning, as we're out of time now. And we want to pick it up from there, Lord willing, next Sunday, and look at this particular issue of Jesus healing on the Sabbath day, because that came up a number of different times. And we'll see how Jesus handled that and how God used Christ's observance. It wasn't breaking the Sabbath day. He was actually observing the Sabbath by doing those good works on that day, and how God gave His witness to His Son in showing that what He was doing was right. And then we also want to then carry it from there to see what the New Testament teaches about the Sabbath, that Jesus has fulfilled it and it is not included as part of the New Testament. But we do want to see what principles God has taught for us to follow as Christians today instead of observing the Sabbath. So that part of our study we want to continue on with, Lord willing, next week. But this morning, as we close now, we want to extend the Lord's invitation, and that is for anyone that is here at this time that is not yet a child of God, that's not yet a Christian. If we have been baptized into Christ, have we put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 tells us that. We have to obey the gospel and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to have the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38. This morning we're encouraging anyone that is here that needs to obey the gospel, obey those commandments to do so. We will assist you in that gladly at this time. If you're ready to obey and become a child of God and have your sins washed away and be able to walk in newness of life with the hope of eternal life, or if you are a Christian this morning, if you are guilty of sin and need to repent, or if you need the prayers of the church, you also have an opportunity to come forward at this time. Anyone that needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.